And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning on this Friday morning. Currently outside, we're looking at 34 degrees, expecting a high in the 50s. And joining us today here, fresh off of his first week in Topeka for the legislative session, we have Senator Virgil Peck joining us this morning. And good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Kyle. Great to be in Southeast Kansas. We had basically the day off. There will be a pro forma session, which means no session, no attendance, no business will be conducted. So why be in Topeka when I can be at KGGF and other places in the district to actually see the people that matter most?
Absolutely. So, again, a first week that was going on up there, and a lot of, like you said, pro forma, and just kind of basically setting up this session coming up. Of course, they had the State of the State speech as well. But one of the first things we can discuss this morning is the state budget. And what that looks like for the coming, the rest of this session and then the next fiscal year.
The state budget is in really good condition, which means that we have taken more money from taxpayers than we needed to. And so now it was interesting. I had, of course, had some ideas prior to getting to Topeka about ways that some legislators were going to propose that we handle the surplus, because we're looking at nearly, according to the budget profile they gave us, right at the end of this current fiscal year, $2.9 billion of an ending balance or excess revenue. And it was interesting to hear all the proposals that are being thrown out there. Of course, you've got 165 people with ideas, plus the governor, plus some other bureaucrats and so forth. So there's lots of ways to spend it. But I was pleased by some of the ideas, which I thought would make a lot of sense, and that would be using the money, because it's sadly basically one-time money because of what's come down from the federal government. The federal government, as everyone will remember, in 2021 and in 2020, we all got these stimulus checks or whatever you want to call them, and so that added to the money that was flowing around in the state of Kansas. So it looks like, from all indications and the briefing we received from legislative research, is, again, this is one-time money. But paying down some state debt, which we have not done, contrary to what the governor said in her State of the State speech, there has not been a pay down of debt. As a matter of fact, there's been a piling on of debt. We've got in CAPERS some of the debt. For example, last year, last session, the legislature voted to bond $500 million. And I do not know for the life of me, Kyle, why it was structured this way, but we cannot pay off that bond early without having to pay the full interest for the full bond over a 20-year period. However, we do have some bonding with CAPERS that we could pay off, and that would save a significant amount of money over a short period of time, or actually over the repayment of the bonds. It was the legislature. I wasn't there, but the legislature, so I guess I get the credit of it. The legislature in 2017 shorted the CAPERS payment to the tune of about $64 million, and then in 2019 shorted CAPERS to the tune of about $190 million. And what I mean by shorted is they said, okay, we will pay this out in payments over the next 20 years. Those payments, or those debt can be paid off, and it would save the state right at $172 million, which is a significant amount of money over next period of time as far as paying that off. So as far as the budget is concerned, again, paying off some debt was mentioned. There was some discussion. There was a bill introduced in the Senate Tax Committee to go to a flat rate for income taxes. A flat one rate. Right now we've got a tiered, three different rates. And I haven't seen that legislation. Don't know if it's good or bad, but it's an interesting proposal. Don't know even what the rate would be, but it would be somewhere, I think, around 4.5%. Which would be an increase on the lower end and a decrease on the upper end. So I think we need to be cautious on that. But again, as far as the state budget, a lot of proposals out there, a lot of ideas, a lot of ways to spend the money. I think we should, establish some type of an emergency or budget stabilization fund, and there is legislation that's being worked on. I'm working with a few other senators for a tax and expenditure limit constitutional amendment. What that would do would be limit the amount of taxes that we could levy, and we would also have a limit on the expenditures that we could have as a state legislature. And if we go under those, the revenue, then we would give that excess revenue back to taxpayers. So I think that's, I've always supported that. I think that's a good idea, and this is an opportunity we have. So actually what we've got here, to just sort of sum it all up, is we've got a historical opportunity to do some really good things for the state of Kansas, but know that whatever we do could or will have long-term impact or effect on Kansas taxpayers.
And you just kind of touched on it a little bit there about the state of the state address. There were a few things that she brought that Governor Kelly brought up in it. Obviously, one of the things that seems to have a lot of bipartisan support, of course, is the grocery tax. And another thing that she talked about was maybe a $250 tax rebate for Kansas taxpayers. So how would that work out with the $250 tax rebate? Or did she even was that just kind of brought up and she kind of moved on from it?
Well, her speech was rather lengthy, and of course it's an election year, and it looks like she's likely to be in a fairly difficult election battle, but her speech was lengthy, and sadly it was riddled with falsehoods, incorrect statements. She talked about the rainy day fund that the state has, that she had added $500 million to the rainy day fund. Well, Kyle, we don't have a rainy day fund. Kansas does not have a rainy day fund. She has not added $500 million to the rainy day fund. But what you mentioned, she did mention in her speech that she's announcing that every working Kansan, I have a copy of the speech right in front of me, by the way, who filed taxes in 2021 will get a $250 rebate this year. Well, she can't say that. She can propose it. The legislature is the only one that has the authority to rebate or give back to taxpayers. I personally kind of like the idea. We got excess revenue. Why do we have excess revenue? Because we took too much from taxpayers. Give some back to them. If you go to a store and they make an error and you overpay, that business owner, when they realize it and they know who it goes to, they're going to find you. They're going to give you your money back. Same way with the state. So her proposal to give a refund, a rebate, if you will, to those who paid income taxes, I kind of like. But again, that's a one-time shot. The tax, it frustrates me that there are so many that are continuing talking about eliminating the sales tax on food. Well, Kyle, we're not going to eliminate the sales tax on food, because food is, you go to any restaurant, fast food place, and that, you know, it depends on your classification. That's food.
Right.
But we're not going to eliminate the sales tax on food, but we're likely to do something as it relates to eliminating or reducing the sales tax on groceries, which is a word you used.
Right.
And that is really what we're looking at, is groceries, not food. And I stress that for the listeners' benefit, which we have talked about in the past. That would benefit everyone, having that reduction. Now, there was discussion, and these are all preliminary, because we had just the one week in Topeka.
Right.
But there was discussion, well, should we eliminate the sales tax on all groceries? Because at the grocery store, you can buy soda pop, you can buy chips, you can buy snack food, which is really not healthy things. Or should we try to figure out how we should eliminate or reduce the sales tax on staples? You know, things that we need, bread, milk, eggs, meats, those type of things, and vegetables. So I don't know how it will play out, but I do expect that we will do something. However, again, got to be careful. Virgil Peck's one of those guys, he likes cutting taxes, and he'll cut taxes all day long. But he's also one of those guys that will cut spending all day long. Historically, the legislature has not shown a willingness to reduce or control spending, and that's got to be vital, got to be a part of the discussion. And so we'll see how things play out. But the good news is, I believe that we will do some things for Kansas taxpayers to put some money back in their pocket. And then I believe if we put money back in Kansas taxpayers long term, that's good for the state.
Absolutely. So, again, those are a few things that were brought up. Another thing I did want to talk about is kind of maybe some Senate bills that were introduced this weekend that could be up for debate.
We have, of course, the first week, it's like everybody's introduced legislation the first 2 weeks. But the one that is moving the quickest in the Senate, and it goes right to the Senate Tax Committee, which I am fortunate to be the new vice chair of, is Senate Bill 318. Senate Bill 318 will provide a sales tax exemption for ag producers as they replace or repair fencing that was damaged by the wildfires to the north and to the west in the state of Kansas. Kyle, there was about 160,000 acres of land that was burned. And it was really, honestly, heartbreaking when we saw a YouTube video that a reporter had done of that area, and to understand the livestock life that was lost. And, of course, every one of those cows, or if it was a beef cow, cattle, you're looking anywhere $1,500, $2,000 lost to that farmer. And we had a man there, just was very... very tough for me to deal with. This man lost his home to the fire and all of his outbuildings, and lost all but 40 of his cows. And he was a cow-calf operation. But they showed several of the fences. Anyway, this legislation would provide for ag producers who are replacing or repairing fencing, sales tax exemption. And I didn't know, I found it interesting and informative, that to replace or build fence is about $18,000 to $20,000 per mile.
Wow.
And some of these ranchers, they have a lot of fence to replace. And I was even thinking around my little 25-acre place, if I were to fence the whole thing, it's over a mile. And I thought, I don't have $20,000. But so, and I mentioned right at the end when we were passing the bill out of committee, I just mentioned to the chair that I have had folks here in Montgomery County, farmers, say, you know, I can purchase supplies in Oklahoma and I have a sales tax exempt card. I just mentioned that if we had that in Kansas, then we wouldn't have to be having legislation because this fencing would already be sales tax exempt. So the chair looks at me and said, you want to introduce legislation to that effect? And I wasn't ready, but I jumped at the opportunity. So I introduced legislation that would do just that. And I'm still working on the language, so I've got a ways to go. But that's the first thing, and that's kind of a priority for everyone in the Capitol, the governor, the legislature, to assist these producers who, and that's just a small assistance, but it is an assistance to them as they repair or replace or fencing. And one thing that I did ask, we did not put a time frame on it. In the past, we've done this, but it was like, okay, we had this fire during this period of time. You have a certain period of time to purchase the supplies. Well, if you've got a wildfire that goes through that doesn't destroy a fence, it can damage it or the T-post, and then they will rust with time, or the wire will rust, and then it becomes weak, and then it brittle and breaks. So this, the way we've got it set up, is it gives them more time to be able to replace their fencing. So it's a priority. We got it out of the tax committee. I expect, from what I've been told, it will be on the floor of the Senate for debate early next week.
So, again, that's one, like you said, still working on the language on it, but the overall, basically, it's to help those ag producers, especially during the wildfires that happened, were destroyed a ton of land, animals, fencing. So, that again, that was a really bad deal. So, this legislation would help out those ag producers in that. And, of course, I know it's just the first week, but still a lot of action going on up there. Is there some other bills that you're kind of interested in that may have been talked about?
Well, there weren't that many that were talked about, but as far as officially, but in the hallways, there were several pieces of legislation introduced as it relates to wind energy and regulation of wind energy. We've got some experts that will be coming to the Capitol to testify from other states of how wind development has impacted them negatively and positively. So we've got to find that balance of, if we do have renewable or wind energy, we need to regulate it. We need to put pretty strict regulations, but we don't want to totally, as a legislature, eliminate wind energy. But we do want to allow, my perspective is, the local citizenry to determine that if they don't want wind in their area, their county, then they should have that right to make certain that doesn't happen.
And that's one thing that's actually been a point of contention in Labette County, where you've had groups that a group that doesn't want wind energy. The commission hasn't necessarily said yes or no, but the folks in Labette County have been saying, no, we don't want it here, because they say, look what happened in Neosho County and stuff like that. And they say there's certain issues, side effects to it as well. But I know that's definitely been a point of contention, though.
It is, and that's one of the things, and the folks in Labette County have had a lot of conversations with myself and Chairman Thompson of the Senate Utilities Committee. For example, one of those pieces of legislation that we have is when wind energy comes in and leases land, they will hold the lease and not record it for a period of time, and then they will record a whole bunch of leases that they've got over the last 12 months. We're going to look at legislation that would require that they record those leases within a more like a 30 or 45 day period, so we know that they're coming in and leasing up land.
All right. Well, again, a lot of great information there. And next week, we'll start week two of the legislative session. And Mr. Peck, or Senator Peck, if anybody has any questions for you or some concerns, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can always call my cell phone, 620-330-389-3839. Or email Virgil at Virgil4Senate.com. I'm going to mention right quick as we wrap up here, tomorrow, in August, by the way, there will be a vote on a constitutional amendment. Tomorrow here in Montgomery County at Coffeyville Holy Name Gymnasium, 9 o'clock in the morning, there will be an informational discussion, and then they will move to St. Andrew's Gym at noon in Independence for discussion about the value of them both amendment. And I was at one in Chanute last night, Kyle, and I thought it was great information that everyone needs to be aware of, because this is a big issue in the state of Kansas.
Absolutely. So again, that'll be, when will that be again? Tomorrow here in Coffeyville and Independence,
9 o'clock at Holy Name here in Coffeyville, noon at St. Andrew's. These are both at their gymnasiums in Independence.
All right.
And a great, great meeting. I would encourage everyone to be there, no matter what you think about the issue. I think it's information you should receive.
Absolutely. You know, basically getting as much information as you can about a particular item. So, again, Senator Peck, again, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate it. And we will talk to you again here in about a month.
I look forward to it. Thank you very
much.
All
right. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour. You're listening to Mighty 690.